Scripture reading this evening will be taken from the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, verses 49 through 56. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Remember the word to your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I kept your precepts.
Good to be with everyone tonight. We hope everyone had a good and restful afternoon. That is always our prayer, and we're thankful that you are back here this evening. If anyone is visiting with us, we're certainly glad to have you in our midst. As always, you are our honored guest, and would ask you if you have any questions at all of anything that we say or do, anything that you see or don't see, then please ask. And we would love to have the opportunity to give you a Bible answer for your Bible question. Well, if you are a sports fan, you no doubt heard the news this afternoon that Kobe Bryant was killed in a tragic accident, helicopter accident. And many of you may not be sports fans at all. Most of you probably have at least heard of Kobe Bryant. He is he is definitely a part of the rich and famous, but it is always shocking when you hear that kind of news, and it reminds us of something that I thought it would be good to talk about tonight, and that is the subject of death. And we don't like to talk about death very often, but as I heard that news this afternoon and thought about death, three things immediately come to my mind. And it should come to all of our minds. And really, it shouldn't take a death of someone who is rich and famous for it to come to our minds, but it is a good time for it to be focused upon. And the first one is obvious, and that is we understand that death is something that we all are going to experience. Death is something that we cannot escape. And most of us are familiar, I think probably all of us, familiar with Hebrews chapter 9. And you remember in this popular passage what the Hebrews writer has to say about death. In a very short verse, it says, "And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment." And we perhaps will have more to say in just a moment about judgment, but the first part of that is what is on our mind or should be. Again, and just as it is appointed for man to die once. And the fact of the matter is, death is something that all of us are going to experience. And the only exception to that, obviously, is if Christ comes back first. But if Christ doesn't come back first, all of us in this auditorium and everybody who is living anywhere is going to taste death. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're among the rich and the famous. It doesn't matter if you're well known or if you're on the opposite side of that. Maybe you're someone who isn't known hardly by anybody, or maybe you're just an average person like most of us, who are known and have an influence among the small circle in which we exist, but it doesn't matter who you are going to experience death. It is, again, an appointment that we must all keep. That's number one. But number two, we understand, as I have often pointed out in invitations and funerals and things of that nature, we understand that death is no respect of persons. That it doesn't matter if you're young or old or in between. It doesn't matter if you're in perfect health or in bad health. As again, I've often said, the sick die. We know that sometimes tragically, but sometimes those who aren't sick at all die, because death is no respecter of persons. And again, it doesn't matter if you're young or old. The third thing, and then we'll make an important application of death and these things concerning death. But the third thing, and this is what comes to our mind when we hear news like we did today, whether it's a professional athlete or maybe an actor or an actress or someone who is famous to people, we understand that death can be sometimes very sudden. And it's not always the case. Sometimes someone might have an illness and it might go on for a while. That is the dying process. But a lot of times you don't have that. A lot of times it's just sudden. I went out to the meeting with Dwayne at Barberton last Thursday, and he was telling me about a 23-year-old woman who died just out here on Waterloo. She was in a car accident, Waterloo and Sunset. And they say in the report that there was speed and alcohol involved, but 23 years old. And just like that, she lost control of the vehicle, hit the curb, and then hit the tree and died. And that's very sudden. And whether you're talking about that young lady or you're talking about Kobe Bryant, and by the way, his daughter of 13 years old was on the helicopter with him. And again, it just emphasizes death is no respect of person. It doesn't matter age. But Kobe Bryant and his daughter and this young lady out here on Waterloo, they had no idea when they got up this morning, of course, with Kobe and his daughter, or the other young lady that I was talking about that happened last Wednesday at about 2:30 in the morning. She would have no idea that that would be the last time, the last day of her life. But that's just the way death is. Sometimes it is very sudden. And that sometimes is a very shocking kind of thing. But that is death. It happens all of the time. People die suddenly. Now, when we think about those three things concerning death, and I understand we don't like to think about death, and we don't like to talk about death, and we don't like to preach about death. But those three things are very real. We're all going to die. The fact of the matter is death is coming, and we all understand that intellectually. We know that. We can't escape it. We know it's not a respecter of persons. We know it could happen to any of us in this auditorium here tonight. And it can even happen suddenly. And again, that's true with regard to all of us here this evening. We don't know what kind of death we're going to die. It could be a very sudden thing. You don't know any time you get out of bed in the morning. That could be the very last sunrise you ever see. Because that's just the nature of death. And what that tells us is that we need to prepare for it. And that really is what some kind of tragic death, regardless if it's someone we know or don't know, just the idea of death and the reality of it should teach all of us here tonight, that we have got to be prepared for death, because we just don't know when it's going to come. I know that we have young people here who have reached the age of accountability and have not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ. This is a very serious thing to consider. You ought not to hesitate. You ought not to procrastinate. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you believe that the Bible is God's Word, don't put it off, because it can be very sudden. You have a chance right now to prepare, but you just don't know how many years, how many days, how many hours, even minutes that you have to make preparation. It's just the nature of death. We have got to prepare for it. In Matthew chapter 13, you remember, of course, Jesus, and this is just one of several passages in which he makes the point that we have to be ready for that day. In Matthew chapter 13, you remember the parable that Jesus gave. Matthew chapter 13 and at Matthew chapter 25, I'm sorry. Matthew the 25th chapter. Matthew chapter 25 and at verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be likened 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. And all of us fall into one of these two categories. We're either on the same side and on the same road as the wise, or we're following the example of the foolish. And it says, for when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Why were their lamps going out? Because they didn't make proper preparation. They had the same opportunities to do so as the wise. But they delayed. They procrastinated. And so now here they are, they haven't prepared, and now the fact of the matter is, it's too late. And that's the tragedy of death, when we die without being in favor with God, when we fail to make proper preparation for that day, whenever it's going to come. It's very foolish, because we have the opportunity. We have the time right now. But one of these days, we're going to run out of time. And so it says, and while they were going to buy, the wise told them to go and get their own. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. And afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say unto you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. And, of course, that comes from Jesus, the greatest of all teachers. And when Jesus warns us about something, we should take it very seriously. And when he says that when it comes down to death, and when it comes down to him coming back, we need to be ready. We need to be watching. Indeed, Christ could come back this very night. But even if he doesn't, we still have the possibility of death. Accomplished individual, but at least in one way, one very important way, in fact, in the most important way of all, regardless of all of his accomplishments, his life was a wasted life. And you say, well, how is that? Well, still in the book of Matthew, turn over to Matthew chapter 16, and you might recall what Jesus has to say, beginning at verse 24 of Matthew chapter 16. It says, and then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now watch. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? And that is precisely what every individual does who does not obey the gospel of Christ. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter, again, how famous you might be. You might be known around the world. If you lose your soul, you have lost everything. You have failed to get out of this life the most important thing, the thing that God wants you to get out of this life more than anything else. That's the salvation of your soul. On the other hand, you may die with nothing. But if you are a Christian, you have achieved the most important thing. Again, the salvation of your soul. What have you accomplished in this life? You can rattle off, perhaps, depending on who you are, maybe several things that you have accomplished educationally, occupationally. Maybe you have done a whole lot of good. But what have you accomplished so far as the salvation of your soul is concerned? At the end of the day, everything else in life is just secondary. The most important thing is your soul. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. The story tomorrow may not be about Kobe Bryant. It may be about Don Wright. It may be about you. We don't know, because life is certain. And death is certain, and death is no respecter of persons. And sometimes, tragically and shockingly, it can be very, very sudden. We don't have to worry about that if every day of our life we're prepared. We obey the gospel of Christ, and we remain faithful. We're about to sing a song, Almost Persuaded. How close are you to obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ? I can tell you right now, almost, when it comes down to the salvation of your soul, almost isn't good enough. That song, of course, is based on Paul's words to King Agrippa. He was almost persuaded, Paul said. He came really, really close, almost persuaded to be a Christian, but at the end of the day, he did not become a Christian, so far as we know. And again, almost isn't good enough. Are you almost persuaded? Are you real close? If you came here tonight, maybe you didn't come to obey the gospel and become a child of God, but you're real close. Why not go all the way and obey the gospel of Christ? So you can take the fear of death away. Those of us who are Christians, we don't have to fear death. The Bible talks about death coming as a thief in the night, or even in referring to the second coming of Christ. But you know, that really, those passages are really only speaking of those who are unprepared. If you are a Christian, you will not be caught like a thief in the night, because you're ready. Are you ready for Jesus to come back? Are you ready for death to come? I hope that you are. If not, why not do so? Why not obey the gospel? Repent and be baptized. Acts 2 at verse 38. That's for the forgiveness of your sins, Peter said. And then you'll be ready no matter what happens. You may live for another 20, 30, 40, 50 years, or you might die tomorrow. It doesn't matter if tonight you repent and you're baptized. You'll be ready. There's nothing more important than that. Come forward as we together stand and sing.